There's opening day at Wrigley Field tomorrow, right? Or is it today?
It's
Tomorrow.
tomorrow.
Yeah. I understand there's going to be a concession now that includes a baseball-shaped donut, and then they'll give you a little tube that has either blueberry or strawberry jelly in it, and you stick the pointy end of the tube into the donut, and you can create your own jelly-filled donut.
Yuck.
What may I just say, and I've said this before about other things, just because you can does not mean you should. Somebody said, I got an idea. Let's get a donut, and we'll give them squirt packets of the gooey jelly, and then they'll squirt it in the donut and walk around the ballpark. Who thought that was a good idea? They'll probably sell a million of them. The shakes last year were huge at Sox Park. Not that this is a shake, but okay, fine. Hey, John Williams, you said that you ate pizza today. It was promotional pizza sent from Malnati's. We like to help our sponsors. You also had a donut. Yeah, I was just checking the pricing of the global donut markets. All before 10 a.m., and now you're going to have Don Jackson Blattner on to talk about nutritional information? When did you develop multiple personalities? All right, Don, I confess to you, these are my sins.
Hello. Well, you know what? I got to tell you, I go back to the math of eating. The math of eating is there are 365 days times three meals a day. So we have, 1,095 times to, have some balance. So, there are some days that maybe is a little bit of a pizza donut day. But that doesn't mean you can't later on have one of your beautiful salads that I know that you and your wife eat and all the, delicious veggies that you do. I'm a big believer in it's this whole 1,100 math of it to look at the overall balance.
I appreciate that. Last night, you didn't ask, but you mentioned it. I had, Brenda does not like us to let food go bad. So sometimes I will find myself, or she will find herself, concocting a frittata with things that just happen to be there, So last night I had a salad of sweet peppers, regular peppers, and cucumbers. And then I just had a tiny little bit of cheese in the fridge that I think was still cheese. So I went ahead and kind of crumbled that up and sprinkled it on with a little vinaigrette, and I had sort of a salad with no lettuce or anything else. It was delicious, and I was eating a bowl of peppers.
Okay, I absolutely love that. The fridge clean-out frittata, it's a game changer in your life. I love that you do that. I agree with you. I think it's one of the most underused ways to use up what's in your fridge, so good work on that. I also love this no-lettuce salad. I think that when people think of a salad, they automatically just think, oh, it's got to have lettuce in there. But no, I love what you did. And we know for blood sugar regulation that having like a little salad like that, especially even before you're eating, is very good for blood sugar. And so I give you A+. This is what I'm talking about, is balance. You hear, oh my gosh, this guy's eating pizza, he's eating donuts. Well, he's also eating this, beautiful pepper salad before a frittata dinner. Like, hello, that's amazing.
Let me ask you this. Our Bob Surratt asked me to ask you this morning about, was it chia seeds? Am I saying that right? Yeah, it's in chia pet, chia seeds. And he was reading or hearing that that's some sort of superfood and we should incorporate it in the diet, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, what's the 411 on chia, Don?
Yes, first of all, any opportunity that you could say chia, I don't know why you don't take it, right? I mean, hello, this is like chia pet time. It's exactly what they are. The chia seeds are a superfood. So not only can they grow these beautiful pets for us, but they have amazing nutritional qualities. So here's the deal on why chia is so great. It's fiber, a lot of fiber, for a very small amount. So 2 tablespoons, which is not that much, 10 grams of fiber. That's incredible. And it's actually very easy to eat, whether you put that in your oatmeal or in your smoothie, on your yogurt, even sprinkling into salads. I mean, it is great. Some people do water. They do squeeze the lemon, water, put chia seeds in there, and it turns very like gelatinous and kind of like weird but fun to drink. So chia seeds are great. They're in the same family of like super seeds of flax seeds. So ground flax seeds. You don't have to grind chia seeds, but you do have to grind flax seeds to get the most nutritional value out of them. But they are also a superfood. They have a great amount of fiber, not as much as chia. But they have a little bit more omega-3, those good fats for us, the flaxseed does. And there's a little bit more research that ground flaxseed may better help your cholesterol levels. So chia seeds wins the fiber. Ground flax wins the omega-3 awards. And there's a little more research on ground flax winning the cholesterol awards, too, to help lower that. But why I like both of them is that you could mix them together. So you buy them in the store, mix them together, and then you can take 2 tablespoons of that mix, and you're getting, you know, half chia, half ground flax, and it's so good for you.
Wow.
And it's so easy to eat. Yeah, they're great.
I will pass this along to Bob Surratt. Dawn Jackson Blattner's on the phone. I didn't give her an official introduction. She's the author and registered dietitian and nutritionist. DawnJacksonBlattner.com is her website. On Instagram, she's DJ Blattner. She is prized around the country, and America loves her. So let's talk a little bit about, speaking of seeds, I know you wanted to say something about seed oils, and I actually saw a picture of beef tallow yesterday in, was it a newspaper, magazine? It was something about why that was a good thing. Can you catch me up on that?
Yes. Okay. So this is one of the hottest topics, and why I said I think we have to talk about it is that I've been getting a lot of emails from your listeners about this. Because out in the news, there is this big make frying oil tallow again. So beef tallow, the renderings from beef, okay, beef fat. So the question is this actually true? Should you be ditching seed oils for beef tallow? Well, first off, let's just even back up this whole discussion. People don't even know what seed oils are. They're like just throwing them under the bus without even knowing. So seed oils, examples, would be like soybean oil, which is usually sold as vegetable oil in the store. Corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, canola oil. Those are like the major seed oils that exist, okay? Let me just clarify. Olive oil is not a seed oil. Olive oil is actually like a fruit juice. No joke that olives are a fruit and they get pressed just like an orange would and their juice becomes olive oil. So olive oil is not a seed oil, by the way. Anyway, so these seed oils are usually demonized out there because they have this high omega-6 content, which for some of us, because we don't get enough omega-3s, that can be inflammatory. And then they get thrown under the bus, seed oils, because they have like a very high processing level to them. So there's a lot of heat and chemicals that go into making them. So people are like, oh my gosh, they have this omega-6, not good. They have all this processing. But listen, I mean, at the end of the day, they actually aren't inherently bad. The issue is what types of food you find these oils in are usually the lowest quality foods. It's all the ultra processed foods like packaged snacks, chips, baked goods, fried foods, fast foods. And so everybody's saying, oh my gosh, you know, seed oil is so bad. No, it's usually just the company they're keeping. You know, they're along the ride with all these low nutrition foods.
Right.
So they're also getting a bad rap. You know, so seed oils aren't what's making our food so junky. It's the overall lack of nutrition. You know, too much added sugar, too many refined starches, too much sodium, too many additives. So, and actually, by the way, there's actually some studies that say if you swap out butter for seed oil, it helps your heart. It's heart healthy. So what I say is in this whole thing, do not forget that olive oil is the best oil to be using in your house. You do not need to switch over to beef tallow. This is a whole conversation about what we should be frying our fries in at fast food places. No matter what oil it is that they're using at fast food places, you know, we should be eating less fries no matter what the oil is. And at home, to really be focused on olive oil, which is more of a juice than it is, you know, an oil. It's the juice of olives.
What would be the reason to bring beef tallow back into our diet then? Why is that a topic?
So it's a topic because when these seed oils are heated in these industrial fast food fryers.
Yeah.
So it's not at your house. I mean, even I don't wish you were frying anything at home either. But in these industrial fryers, you get oil that is seed oil that's used a lot and raised to high temperatures a lot, used a lot, raised to high temperatures, and then it becomes unhealthy for you because it's rancid. It's been overused in these industrial fryers. So beef tallow is a little bit more, you know, what would you say, like a strong. It could take you know, more of this abuse in these deep fryers.
I see.
And it stays. Yeah. So maybe there is something to it. It's like, okay, you know what? You want a heartier oil to deep fry things in a fast food restaurant? All right, fine. Maybe you use a beef towel. But at the end of the day, this should not be a discussion. This should be like, hey, how can we not go to eat so many French fries? How can we have, you know, more fruits and vegetables, cook olive oil at home, you know, that kind of thing. People are not going to get healthy just because we've changed the deep fat frying oil at fast food restaurants.
John Williams, I'm down 30 pounds since January 1st from listening to tips and tricks from Diva Dawn. Vitamin A, want to take more for improvement in skin, but not many foods seem to be packed with it. Does she have any recommendations, or should I take supplements if I want more vitamin A?
Don't take vitamin A supplement. Vitamin A is an antioxidant. It's great for you, along with vitamin C, vitamin E. They're great, but primarily in foods. And so you really can find vitamin A in a lot of leafy greens and a lot of orange vegetables. So at the end of the day, I would recommend, in terms of supplements, that's not one of like the top five to take. Usually it's, you know, the stuff that we really have a really hard time getting in our diet, like vitamin D is actually really hard. So that is possible a supplement when you talk to your doctor. Omega-3, we don't eat enough fish. That's possibly a supplement in your diet.
Yeah.
You know, looking for those dietary gaps that are, I mean, incredibly hard to get. But we do get enough vitamin A by the majority of us, and most of us don't need to supplement.
847 says, speaking of Dawn Jackson Blattner and her knowledge of exercise, hey, John, have you seen her Instagram videos of her jump roping skills? She and her teacher are amazing, makes jump roping look spectacularly fun. You should ask her about it.
I love your listeners. Oh, my gosh. You really draw in some good people, I'll tell you that. Well, thank you for bringing it up, because I love to talk about the fact that I'm a professional jump roper. I've been paid 2 times to jump rope, so I'm going to call that a professional jump roper. And I picked it up in the pandemic. My gym closed. I didn't know what to do for exercise. I was kind of afraid to go running outside, and, you know, everything was like, oh, don't touch people, don't breathe, I don't know. So I just picked a jump rope up. I did not like it at all. It's too hard. It was very frustrating, but I stuck with it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, this is great exercise. And you can listen to very fun music. And, you know, the time goes by. And then all of a sudden I met a teacher who taught me tricks. And so now I use it at least a couple of times a week as a form of, you know, fun exercise.
I was jump roping on our deck during the pandemic for the same reason, but nobody wanted to pay to have me jump rope. And I would try and see how many times I could skip without messing up. And I would try and get to 100 or so. Do you count? And what's your bragging number about jump roping?
Oh my gosh, I don't have I never even thought to do a bragging number. I've got to work on this. I've got to work on a bragging number. My brags are very much trick related, like double unders and doing techs and turns and
wow.
Doing, you know, all sorts of like tricks like that. So I would say I'm more of a trickster than I'm a counter, but maybe I got to work up to your 100. Maybe I'll see what I got.
You can see Dawn's stuff on Instagram, DJ Blattner. Her website is dawnjacksonblattner.com. And you have questions too, 312-981-7200. Hey, Dawn, somebody wanted to know what to put in almost a smoothie to have better health right now. They want to build back their liver and kidneys and boost testosterone. What ingredients would you put in a juice schedule for this guy or anybody?
Okay, well, hey, this is a fun topic. So there is juicers in this world, and there are blenders in this world. So a lot of times when people talk about a juice or like getting a green juice, it's come out of a juicer, which, you know, is a pretty expensive gadget, and it takes all the fiber out of your food, but it does concentrate nutrients. So a lot of times when people do have a juicer and they end up using it, they have to find something to do with all the fiber remnants that are left over. But vegetables are the main source of how you make a good juice, not a bunch of fruit, but a bunch of vegetables. So for example, cucumbers and celery and kale and spinach tend to be the base of a lot of good green juices. A little bit of green apple for a little, you know, natural sweetness, but not too much fruit. Lemon is great. Also, you know, I'm going to tell you ginger and turmeric. Those are very anti-inflammatory spices that are so good, and they're great in juices. And even parsley, it's a natural diuretic, so that's another thing people will put in these juices. So I like that, but I don't love the fact that these juices don't have fiber, and I don't love how expensive juices are, and I don't love that you have a ton of leftovers. So what I usually do with people is I call them blender juices. So if you have a blender, it doesn't have to be a super high power one. It could just be one of those like individual, you know, little blenders. You can blend up 1 cup of water and then put 1 or 2 cups of vegetables in there, like some of the ones I said. So you could actually cut up celery and put it in with the water, blend it up with some lemon juice and ginger, and you get yourself, it's on the thicker side. Let's just point out, it's not the thinnest juice in the world. But it is drinkable and very refreshing, especially like with the lemon. And that's a good version. I like that a lot. I have blender juice recipes on my website. So celery juice is one with lemon and ginger. I also leaven a blender, again, using 1 cup of water and putting like spinach or kale in there with a little pineapple and turmeric and black pepper. That pineapple really takes the edge off of all the greens. Pineapple has natural digestive enzymes in there, and turmeric is that anti-inflammatory spice. And then black pepper actually helps you absorb that turmeric even better. So I like that one. That's a good green juice recipe from your blender. Or you could go pretty classic, like a cucumber juice. 1 cup of water, 1 or 2 cups of cucumber chopped up, a little lime juice, and then putting mint for digestion, or even parsley for that diuretic agent helping you with like water retention.
Right.
And blend that up. And it's great. So the green juice, the celery juice, or the cucumber juice are things you can make in your blender and alternate. You don't want to have the same one every single day. And, you know, this doesn't count for all your vegetables. It's in like, you know, once you make this, then you don't have to worry about vegetables for the rest of the day. But it is kind of a fun way to
Why don't you count that? If it's you said a cup or two of vegetables and you want us to eat 3 cups of vegetables a day, why don't you count this in my veggie count?
Yeah, it does count in your veggie count, but it's not your total, you know, so it's not like one and done. A lot of people are like, oh, I had my green juice. Now I don't have to eat any vegetables with my meals.
Yeah.
And so it's very important to like spread your vegetables through the day. But yeah, I you know, I love a good blender juice like that. And those are some ideas and recipes that really work and are tasty too.
Stan, you're on with Dawn. How can we help you, Stan?
Yeah, hi, Dawn. 6 weeks ago, you were talking about sauerkraut. And you were making the point, apple cider vinegar, which I do every day, but I love sauerkraut and cabbage. So sauerkraut, how much would I consume every day, and what time of the day do I just eat? Yeah, I just opened a small can here of sauerkraut. How would I consume it on a daily basis on a small amount to get the benefits?
Yeah, I love, first of all, you know, hallelujah. I love that you're eating sauerkraut. I think this is so great. Fermented veggies are great for our digestive tract, our immunity. And so doing like a shot glass size with your meal. So technically, I mean, one a day is great. If you can do 3 shots a day with each of your meals, that would be even better. So even just as is, like you don't even have to stir it into things. You can just have it as is. Or if you do like to have it with things, it's like, oh, you know, you have your scrambled eggs and then you put your sauerkraut on top, you know, without cooking it, you put it on top because you want those fermented good bacteria to be alive. So, you know, a little sauerkraut on a frittata, for example, John, very good. On your scramble, great. At lunchtime, sauerkraut in a sandwich, I know. I mean, we all have eaten a Reuben before. Like, it belongs on sandwiches. It's great. Or you could just have it on the side and, you know, but you have a grilled chicken breast, and you put some sauerkraut and you put it on a whole grain bun and maybe some lettuce and tomato. I mean, it's a great sandwich. And then sauerkraut at dinner is very similar. You have a stir fry after it's all cooked. You know, you could pop in a little bit of sauerkraut into that. But I oftentimes for myself, just like the, you know, doing a shot and having it, you know, and then not having to worry about putting it in all of my food.
Yeah, somebody sent me, maybe it was Steve Alexander, a picture of a shot glass with coleslaw in there. Or no, not. I wish it was coleslaw. But coleslaw doesn't get this ticket punch, does it? It was sauerkraut. And I was deeply disturbed by that. Cabbage and coleslaw don't count as sauerkraut, do they?
Well, I mean, hey, listen, they are very good for you. They're in the cruciferous family of vegetables.
They're not the same.
And the only reason why they're not the same is that coleslaw, it's not fermented, but it is what sauerkraut really is, you know, fermented cabbage. So they are about the same, except you get the added benefit of the fermentation when you're eating sauerkraut. And that fermentation is just, you know, helps support your gut microbiome or the bacteria in your gut.
For this and more, go to DonJacksonBlattner.com, at DJ Blattner on Instagram. Watch her skip rope. Okay, Don, professional skip rope, rope skipper. Thank you. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, John. Bye-bye.
America's favorite nutritionist and dietitian.